This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday afternoon, August 6th, at the time that we are recording this. Damon, I'm exhausted. You're exhausted. Tanahashi's exhausted. Ishii's exhausted. The listeners are exhausted. We have got four more shows left in the G1 Climax 27. And boy, today we are going to kick it off by reviewing this A-block show that we just got done finishing up moments ago. And we're going to fill in the gaps from the rest of the week. What do you say about that?
You said it. You kicked off this show fittingly, because it is not David fittingly, just fittingly.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. You know, early in the show, I'm quick with the puns, kids, right? I'm sharp as a tack, but we are tired. It's weird because I said it to you before we hit record. It's like this is the time. This is the time when the burnout sets in. This is for the new people. This is your G1. Burnout, and you miss a night, you fall behind one night, and it's a little tough scrambling to pick up the pieces and catch up. And it's important that you catch up, because you can't just hop in on the most recent show. You gotta watch it, because there's shit that's happening all the time. The points here matter. So it's a lot of pro wrestling. I mean, and again, all I'm watching, I don't know about you, Colin, all I'm watching is G1. I don't have time for anything else. I got All Japan shows that are backing up. I got what else do I have? I think I have a Noah show that's backed up.
You've got WWE shows that are backed up, right?
Nope. And again, I had a conversation with a guy last night where, you know, I have no problem. If somebody tells me something's good, I'll watch it. You know, if somebody tells me something's really great, I'll watch it. But, like, I don't go out of my way to watch it. But no, everything's backing up. All I'm doing is watching G1. And again, if you miss one night, if you have something to do, you're fucked, right? You literally have to keep your calendar open for, what, 2 or 3 weeks to make this work in a timely fashion. But we're here. We're doing a service, a public service. Once again, Colin, went to that CZW show last night.
Yeah, that's right. Onita.
Yes. Which was fun. In actuality, lots of controversy, though, Colin. Lots of controversy. But my point is, I'll get to the controversy second. But we got a lot of feedback, a lot of fans, a lot of people wishing us well, wishing you well. I was kind of surprised by that. I said I was going to be there, and there were a lot of people there from the Classic Board flew in and drove up, and there were a lot of people there. But we got a lot of a lot of fans that were at the CZW show and came up and said hi to me. So thank you to everyone who stopped by and saw me and wished us well. The controversy count. So it was Onita that they were flying in with this. He was going to have a match with this guy, Matt Tremont, who is a big CZW guy. He's been around for quite a while. King of the Deathmatch tournament winners multiple times. Singles match, right? But the rumors were going about that they were trying to find a way to make this a multi-man tag at the end of the day, right? because, truth be told, Onita is in not the best shape in the world, right? He just came off that broken leg. He's 50-something years old. Body's beat to shit. So they were going to shoot, like, kind of do a live angle, right, where they're going to have this singles barbed wire death match turn into a multi-man tag, which on the surface is a little shit, right?
Now, wait a second. This was originally billed as a barbed wire death match.
Right.
And the change was made on the day of the show?
During the show.
During the show.
Right, because they knew all along that this was going to be the case, right? They knew all along that they wanted to turn this into a six-man tag.
Now, was this at the 2300?
No, this was at the Flyers Skate Zone, so the Flyers practice facility, the hockey team.
Okay.
So in Voorhees, so where the Flyers practice and have training camp and all that stuff, there's three ice rinks, and one of them.
So
kind of like,
so this was in Jersey.
Yes.
Correct. Gotcha.
So the problem going in that a lot of people had was, okay, you knew CZW knew that this was going to be a six man tag, right? But they constantly and consistently build it as a singles match, right? Which is bullshit, right? If you know, here's what it felt like. You guys got my money. You jacked up ticket prices, right? You got our money. And then you're going to – this was during the match this happened. So it started out as a singles match, right? And then, again, outside interference, nonsense, bunch of FMW guys came in. Then here comes the CZW guys to save, and then it's grab the house mic and let's turn this into a six-man tag. And, you know, it was like, what the fuck? I mean, you saw like 5 minutes of one-on-one, but then you got nonsense.
Who is booking this? Teddy Long?
Who is booking? Is it Sammy Callahan that's booking it? But it's probably DJ Hyde who owns it, who made that final decision, I would think, right? And Onita. And then, of course, there's always the rumors with Onita because – you know, he's pretty notorious for being, I don't want to say difficult to work with when it comes to business, but like, you know, he's the kind of guy that you wouldn't raise an eyebrow if somebody told you that, oh yeah, he wanted X amount of money, but when he got to the show, he demanded X plus Y and he's not doing this match. He's doing another match. So nobody knows who to point the finger to, but it wound up being a multi-man tag match. But at the end of the day, though, truth be told, everybody kind of had a good time with it. You know what I mean? But there was a lot of rumblings about that. You heard a lot of rumblings before the show that was going to happen. And then when it really happened, there was a collective like, fuck. But what are you going to do? The guy's 59 years old. But he was a good guy, signed everything.
Got a nice photo I saw.
I got a nice photo. So, again, he's a guy, top 10, arguably top 10 most influential and important Japanese pro wrestling personality ever. I think he's safe to say you could put him in that top 10. The Ricky Dozens, the Inokis, the Babas, the – who else would you put? Maybe you would put a Muda in there, maybe a Jumbo maybe. Ricky Choshu, I think you would put in that.
No, I have a question for you because I don't know much about Mr. Onita. What period did he work in NJPW?
Well, it was like late 90s. So he didn't really work. He was more of an outsider coming in.
Right.
So he did one of the exploding barbed wire matches against Chono. I think he did one against Muda. And then he did the great Nita gimmick against the great Muda. But yeah, he's mostly known as an outsider for New Japan fans. Again, he was the guy who created FMW and really kind of launched that deathmatch scene in Japan. They were the hottest indie promotion. They were selling out stadiums. His multiple retirement shows that he's had. He takes a big piece out of the Terry Funk playbook when it comes to retirements. But he was elected to Senate, like the equivalent of the Japanese Senate, like legitimate Senate, right?
Right.
And then he had a whole bunch of scandals. I think it was something to do with a porn star, I want to say, or he got, you know, he
But he ran for office and he won.
He won. Yeah, absolutely. Which is not odd. Like Hiroshi Hase, he's one another guy, New Japan guy who was elected to office. Inoki, obviously. So yeah, I mean he has a very rich history, not only in Japanese pro wrestling, but in possibly Japanese culture. I don't.
And I feel like in the Japanese culture, it isn't much as an eye roll over there when like a pro wrestler runs for public office as it is here.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Imagine like fucking, I don't know. I was going to throw out a name like Batista.
Well, like Glenn Jacobs, for example. Kane is running for like mayor of Knoxville County or something like that. Mm-hmm. That raises a lot of eyebrows. And
yeah, I think, and again, I don't want to speak for the Japanese culture. I'm sure there's people that could talk on this a little bit better than me, but it just seems on the surface that it's a little bit more, it's kind of like a hobby, I wouldn't go so far as to say it'd be like a sport, like a baseball player. But, when Baba died, I mean, it felt like in the feedback that you would read is that, pretty much Japan shut down and legit famous people were commenting on the passing of Baba, and it was a news story. So I think there's certain levels. Would Onita be in that level? I mean, I truly feel like he is. If you're making a Mount Rushmore, I doubt he's making four, but I think he's in the top 10 of most influential Japanese pro wrestlers ever. Again, not greatest. I don't think he's the best worker in the world, but what he was able to accomplish and create and really popularize a style and a genre of pro wrestling, I don't think that can be disputed. And he's charismatic as fuck, right? And, he's got that whole post-match thing, throw the water, pour the – he's literally on fire, and he's pouring water over him, and steam's coming off of him, and he's screaming into a microphone like a lunatic. He had the crowd by the by the palm of his hands in the 90s. He could do no wrong, and he did a lot of wrong, but not in the fans' eyes. And yeah, I think he's a legend. I think he's an absolute legend. And from a New Japan point of view, he had, I guess historic matches in the sense of, New Japan's not one to whip out the barbed wire and the exploding landmines. And they had a few of those matches with him. So it was just cool. It was kind of cool to kind of check that box. I met him in Tokyo before, but it was real quick and was like, it certainly wasn't like this. And I always say when they come to town, Colin, I'll throw the money. To me, I'll give a guy $20, $30, $40, whatever it is. To me, that's like kind of like, hey, you entertained me for fucking years. I can't tell you how many times I sat in my goddamn room and watched these videotapes.
And so, not only that, you never know when you're going to get to see these guys again.
Well, that's the thing too. It's not like he comes here often, right? So he's one of those guys where it's like, he was supposed to come during the ECW boom period, and that fell through. He was supposed to come in for XPW too, and he even shot an angle for that, and he bailed. So again, he's pretty notorious with that. So a lot of people were kind of speculating even if he was going to make the fucking plane ride. And when the pictures started coming of him at JFK, kind of like the Beatles landing, everybody kind of breathed a sigh of relief. It was like, okay, at least he's on the East Coast. Okay, there's Onita. There you go. We killed that. But it was fun. Everybody had a good time. Lots of people there. Thanks for everybody showing up. And, a little check mark off of Damon's box there. So there we go. All right.
All righty, Damon. What do you say we get into this morning's G1 show from Shizuoka, Sunday, 8/6. This was an A-block show that kicked off with a match that I had circled on my G1 calendar, and that is Yuji Nagata versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Well, right. So for most people, I think, and especially the people that are into the grappling style and what Zach brings to the table, you go through that laundry list of people that in that block, and Yuji Nagata is probably the guy that's one of the more cohesive. Is that the word I'm looking for? They're very, they're similar.
Yes.
Right?
Very, very technically sound. Lots of stiff kicks.
Yeah. Able to make the, dare I say, the boringness of an arm bar exciting, right?
Hey, well, remember my math professor analogy?
I do remember that. How could we? It's one of the greatest moments of PureCast history.
Zack Sabre Jr. makes technical wrestling fun.
Yes, he does. And I agree with that. So, yeah, I was looking forward to this, too. You know, before we get into to the meat and potatoes of this match, Colin, can I ask you a couple questions about G1, where we are right now?
Certainly.
And I know we do bob and weave a little bit, so bear with us.
That's what the show is, in case you haven't noticed by now.
It is. Something sparks in my head, like a little bzzz goes off in my brain. I'm like, oh, I gotta address this. I gotta acknowledge it. Do you have any fucking idea what New Japan is thinking when it comes to the G1? Like, I am...
In what regard?
I am in finishes and how they book this out. And here's the thing. I'm not necessarily complaining about it. I'm just perplexed. Like, when we talk about doing the pick'ems, and we talk about, like, voices pick'ems.
Sure.
I don't know how anybody could sit there and map it out and sit there and say, well, that guy's got to beat that guy, and that guy's got to beat that guy, and here's why. Because it, to me, feels like you just throw two names in the air, and whoever lands with their name facing up and the other one facing down, you know, that's how it works. I don't know how, and again, I know we're jumping around. My apologies. But I got to start with fucking Omega and Juice.
Okay.
And I got to start with Evil, especially with Evil and Okada.
Yeah, the Evil Okada one threw me for a loop, but I did
A loop?
I did call the Juice victory, though. That made sense to me. There's a perfect opponent for Omega to have a U.S. title defense against somewhere in the States.
All right. And here's the thing. Again, I'm not necessarily shitting on it, kids. That's not what we're doing here. I'm just perplexed.
You're asking questions.
I am asking legit questions, I feel like. So to me, first of all, I had this confirmed. They don't know who's they being the participants in G1. They don't know who's winning until they get to the building, right? So it's not like 2 weeks from, or, you know, 2 weeks ago or a week ago, they knew that they were winning on, you know, the 5th of August, right? So they get to the arena, and I like that idea because it kind of keeps things fresh, even in their mind, when the guys don't even know if they're going to win or lose, right?
Right.
That's pretty cool to me.
I agree.
Imagine going to the arena, right? And you're Kenny Omega, and you see that Osaka lineup, and you see first, we'll just assume, just for the sake of making my story much more interesting than it might be, you see Evil getting a win over Okada. Now, you're Kenny Omega, and you see this.
Kenny Omega, who has never beaten Okada.
Thank you. To me, if I'm – and again, I'm speaking as it might not be anything, but I just kind of feel that being a competitive person that he is, and who most professional wrestlers are at that level, you see that, and you're like, what in the blue fuck? That is my win. That's
yeah,
the win
but
I'm supposed to get.
New Japan is painting a bigger picture. I mean, that
what
Evil
picture?
Win in the G1 is just a blip on the radar for a future title defense between now and the Dome for Okada.
Okay, but don't you think that, because again, before that match, all the talk was Okada's reign. Okada hasn't been beaten in a year.
What have I been saying on this podcast? I mean, Okada has been on this mad tear, this streak, if you will. And yeah, it did surprise me to see a guy like Evil.
Thank
who,
you.
In my mind, on the LIJ food chain, I mean, he's definitely below Sonata in my mind, or at least he was. So, yeah, that did shock me that he got a win over Okada. But again, what have we been talking about since 2015 when we started this podcast? The G1, one of the things that makes it so great is that unpredictable sport element. Like, Okada was just, he had an off night. Evil bested him on that night.
But this is still pro wrestling. Like, you can
right.
do what you want, right? You can tell the story that you want. And to me, that whole piece of the puzzle is, dare I say, it's meaningless now. Is it meaningless?
In what regard?
In the regard of Okada's invincibility and the fact that we're building up to really establish a Kenny Omega Okada rematch, a trilogy, so to speak, on the finals that really meant, or the semifinals that really meant something. Like how, and again, I got to figure out the math in my head, and it still can be very important. Don't get me wrong. I just think that we could have established Evil being a contender for the title, right? Without having without having Okada lose. Like again, the streak. We talked about that the year that he's having, and his ability to overcome odds, and you know,
why this makes sense, though.
But Evil?
Maybe not Evil, but I'm just talking about Okada here. Like, the fact that he has been performing at such a high level month after month. I mean, he was bound to slip somewhere along the line, and he slipped against Evil.
That doesn't seem odd to you.
In the context of the G1, no. Now, if this was at, like, I don't know, any other show, yeah, I would definitely question it. This is the G1. It's unpredictable. Anyone can win or lose at any given time.
Again, I do like that element. It shocked me. I did not expect it. It gave that match a definite, obviously new interest, right? Going out of it, and I think Juice did a wonderful job. And I think Juice, and again, I'm flip flopping all over here. I'm back to Juice here. Juice did an outstanding job. In the post match, you know, his expressions, Evil getting the win, you know, right after was, you know, you're coming off of maybe that.
Let me ask you this: in the entire B block, who would you, if Okada was going to lose, let's say he had to lose to at least one person, all right?
Yeah.
Who would you have defeat him in that B block?
Kenny Omega.
Besides Kenny Omega. Nobody?
No.
See, I was thinking Suzuki. That made...
Okay.
I will say
and
this.
And we
that,
talked about that coming up, right?
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
Talked, but that would be the one where he gets softened up a little bit.
That
right?
made more sense to me. The Evil win did surprise me because in my mind, I had Okada's first loss penciled in as a Suzuki victory.
Too. Right. And you convinced me of that one.
Which could still happen, by the way.
Okay, but now, like, I really, and again, maybe this is just me. And again, I don't know shit. What do I know? But to me, it felt like the reason you had Kenny Omega and Okada in the same semifinal in the Sumo Hall, it was a purpose. It was that last night. But in my mind, the idea is to build up that match to that special moment.
And it's still going to be special. I mean, okay, Kenny Omega has two losses, right?
Now he does, yeah.
He has a loss against Michael Elgin.
Yep.
And he has a loss against Juice Robinson. Both
two Americans, by the way, or right. you know,
two North American dwellers.
Yeah.
If you will, you know, two guys who. You know, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I did have Omega penciled in as losing to both of them. So he has two losses, and Omega is now at, let's see here.
Quick math. Nobody told me there'd be math.
Trying to look for Omega's points here. Omega has 10 points, all right?
All right.
Okada... Mm-hmm. Is currently at...
He's got one loss.
12 points.
Okay.
So you can have Okada lose one more time, right?
Right. To who?
Omega could win one. To Suzuki, yeah.
Okay.
And you can have Okada versus Omega with both participants having the same number of points.
Okay.
True. Two losses each.
Because
that doesn't mean anything,
goal,
then.
Right? Is that the? Well,
I think I just debunked your theory, Dave.
I mean, look, you no, what you did was you made the math line up.
Right.
So now, to me, Okada loses twice. I don't know. I like the idea of having Okada strong, I guess. I mean, maybe that's it. I don't know. I just...
Honestly, I probably would have had Okada just win this whole thing with no losses.
There were a lot of people that were talking about that, just having him just
That's
go.
What I would have liked to have seen, but okay, we're obviously not going that route. So, look, it wouldn't kill Okada to lose to Suzuki. I mean, maybe his confidence is a little shaken now after the evil lost. He's going up against Suzuki. Okada's beat up. Suzuki takes advantage of that, delivers another... loss for Okada, and Okada and Omega face each other, same amount of points.
There is something to be said that they both lost on the same night. Two guys that, to me, are roughly at the same level. Isn't that interesting?
I would put Evil a little bit above Juice on the food chain.
I think they're neck and neck, those guys.
As far as in-ring quality?
I mean, as far as pecking order. Like, as far as, like, who people would see as, you know, the hierarchy of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Remember what faction Evil is in, though. I mean, not for nothing. He's in the hottest heel faction in New Japan.
Okay, but even you said he's third fiddle.
In my eyes, he was.
Okay. I'm sure that there are many people that are.
When we're talking about the heavyweights in LIJ, Naito 1, Sonata 2, Evil 3. That's how I saw it, but obviously...
But there are people who would disagree with that.
Yeah, certainly. I'm sure there are plenty of listeners who would disagree with that, and it looks like New Japan also disagrees with that.
We sat here and said, hey, maybe this is the year Evil kind of takes a back seat. Sonata gets his little, you know... This was supposed to be the year of Sonata, wasn't it, that we talked about?
It was. It was supposed to be the summer of Sonata.
Right, so
he was going to read a book from beginning to end, learn frisbee golf.
But to me, an Evil and a Juice, especially the way Juice picks up, you know, seemingly shocking wins this year, I think they're kind of in the same world. You could put them in the same bucket, right? And both these guys, both arguably the biggest names in New Japan Pro Wrestling right now, with Omega and Okada, both losing. And I don't think it was – we sat here. Remember we went over – and maybe this wasn't – but this was before we hit the record button. Maybe it wasn't. I don't ever get. I don't even know what I had for breakfast today. Where we talked about this Osaka show, right, and how weird like some of these matchups were. You know, they on paper they were just kind of like, you know, Omega Juice, right? Evil Okada. Some of these things were kind of head scratchy.
They were,
but it kind of now in hindsight, you're like, okay, well, obviously this is why they did it. This was the crowd to do it in front of. Osaka's notorious for, I don't want to say appreciating shit like this, but they did. You see that crowd reaction after Juice got that win?
Oh yeah, and did you see Juice's reaction after Juice got that win?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, listen, that was Juice might be one of my favorite baby faces.
Oh, absolutely.
Like his post-match interviews, there's a lot that he brings to the table when it comes to having a real good, solid baby face.
And it's got to be like the pinnacle of his career. I mean, think about it. He went from being on NXT as, you know, basically a geek who came out with this stupid gimmick, and now he just defeated... In a lot of people's minds, the greatest pro wrestler in the world.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. That's quite the journey.
And look at Evil. You know, again, the running joke on this show has always been when he was in New Jersey, that fucker couldn't get booked on a show for the life of him. Like, you never saw him.
I remember watching Watanabe at that one War of the Worlds show in Philly a few years back that we were both at.
Yeah, that's it. You know when he really turned the corner?
When's that?
He had a match in, I think it was in Chicago, against Elgin.
Yeah, I do remember Elgin talking about that.
That seems to me that I don't know that one moment, because I'm sure he was due to come back from excursion. But boy, that was really kind of like a turning point. The turning point. That's
and he was still Watanabe at that period, right?
Yeah. He hadn't come back, so he came. He debuted, you know, with you know interfering in a Naito match. I forget what show it was. I forget. But yeah, it was. You know, like I said, when he was in Jersey, the only time you saw him was when you know the New Japan guys were here. It wasn't like he would wrestle like on pro wrestling syndicate shows in Jersey. Nobody would come up to him. Nobody. He used to be sitting at a fucking table.
Do you think you could have booked Watanabe in your what was your promotion? The Extreme
HWI?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm sure we could have used some. You know, I'm sure we could have got him with Meanie or something like that. I'm sure. Why not? But hell of a tag team.
There's going to be an HWI reunion one day. I can feel it.
There won't be. Not in my case.
This podcast spurred that movement.
Nope. I'm putting the fuck. I'm the Noel Gallagher to the Liam Gallagher. Let's get Oasis back together.
I'm
Noel. I'm like, nope, that ain't happening.
I got to talk to Mackie behind the scenes and see if we can put some pressure. Yep.
No, there's too much nonsense.
Okay.
There's too much backstage shenanigans that would make that happen. I'm sure there's some. Listen, there's one of them that would do it tomorrow, but I ain't fucking know. All right, enough of that nonsense, Colin. But I just thought that was weird. Like, if I'm Kenny Omega, I don't know.
Well, listen.
I feel like that's Kenny Omega's win to have.
Grand scheme here. Omega is going to defend against Elgin. Omega is going to defend against Juice. Both of which I'm sure will be great matches down the road, right?
Yep.
And we've also got either a Destruction main event or a King of Pro Wrestling main event in Okada versus Evil. And
that's true.
That'll be a great match.
Listen, there is a lot that came out of it. Look, I agree. And I'm not complaining about it. So I don't want to hear, oh, you're fucking pissing off. No, I'm not. I mean, I see it. I get it. But there is the other side of the coin of, wow, very fucking weird. Very fucking weird what they did. Same show, same night, two guys who are really at the same level against getting wins over two guys that are at the highest level. And again, that's how you create stars, I guess. You know, and we always say New Japan is probably the best at doing stuff like that. So, yeah, I guess I'm just questioning it somewhat. You know me. I it's hard for me to get on board out of the gate.
Yeah, I know it does take you a little while to instant gratification, Damon. But
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
You know what one thing is that I know you're absolutely on board with?
I smell a segue.
I know, Damon, that you are on board with getting authentic Puduresu merchandise shipped straight to your door directly from Japan. And do you know who can hook you up with that?
Colin. How many weeks do we have to tell you? It's Gaijin Collectibles.
That's right. GaijinCollectibles.com.
Look, I you know what? I haven't, which reminds me, I haven't sent over my funds. I got to get my LIJ cap. I didn't do that last week. I had a lot to pay for, but this week it will be done. And you should do the same, kids. It's Gaijin Collectibles for all of your Japanese pro wrestling merchandise, straight from the promotions to your doorstep, which to me, what a service they can provide. So if I'm getting my pro wrestling merchandise from Japan from there, you should too. And I think everyone will be happy that you did. I know the good people at Gaijin always look forward to hearing this spot, and we look forward to working with them in the future. And if you're looking for Japanese pro wrestling merchandise for your personal collection, by all means, it's Gaijin Collectibles, kids.
Very good, Damon. Very good. Speaking of puzzling things, weird outcomes, I kind of thought that Yuji Nagata getting a win over Zack Sabre Jr. was weird because I thought that I knew by now how they were booking this.
You don't.
Right. Obviously, I know nothing. Because I just assumed, okay, this is a stock legend tournament booking by New Japan. He's going to lose and lose until he gets that one big win at the end. But no, Yuji Nagata soundly defeating Zack Sabre Jr. here and getting his first 2 points in the tournament.
Do you think that was a letdown? Do you think that was a missed moment?
No, not... Not
okay,
really.
Because we were talking about it for weeks, Colin, about him fucking over somebody on the final night, right? I just think the theme of this show is a head scratcher, right? Because you got Nagata, and we've talked about this for weeks, Colin, and even you were kind of like, okay, well, if they're not going to go all in on Nagata getting some big wins early, and he's going to lose a ton, we're building up to the final night where he fucks somebody over and a win means something. Like, what does a win over Zack Sabre Jr. mean? Nothing. It's 2 points. He got a win. Great. I don't know.
Grand scheme of things, it doesn't make much sense because,
no.
I mean, look at how Tenzan was booked. Look at how Liger was booked. I believe that both of those journeys in their respective tournaments culminated with a big win at the end.
Well, Liger especially, right?
Right.
Liger, of course. And did Tenzan get a win at the end?
I
know we got early ones.
It might have been the reverse with Tenzan. Yeah. I remember him getting a win over Ishii, and I think it was his first match.
Yeah, he got out of the blocks hot, and then he cooled off after that. And again, I'm not saying you have to have the same pattern, but I mean, maybe he wins again. Maybe we're talking about, maybe he winds up with 4 points.
Maybe he beats Fale.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but that was the end goal to me, right? I don't know. I just think sometimes I think that they take the long way around the hill, right? When there's a road there's a tunnel that goes right through the center of the hill, right? Like sometimes I just think they do the simple approach is the most logical approach. Just sometimes they just fucking they never want to do that, and that sometimes that's maddening to me. Sometimes,
yeah,
that's
no,
a little
especially
odd
with the way that they book these legends in these tournaments, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you look at it, but. Nevertheless, Yuji Nagata, big win over Zack Sabre Jr. I thought it was a very enjoyable match. And like you alluded to earlier, lots of grappling, lots of technical wrestling, but I wasn't bored with this.
Nope. No. And talk about an not even unheralded. Is that the word? Unheralded? It's not like he's underrated. It's not like people aren't talking about his performance, but Yuji Nagata has been one of my favorites so far this year in G1.
I thought he's had a lot of great matches, actually.
Yeah. Matches that, we said that of the, as they call them, the New Japan dads, the legends, if you want anybody in the G1, you want Yuji Nagata. He could definitely still go. But even with us saying that, I think he's impressed us and has over-delivered even for us. And I think looking around from the feedback that I'm hearing is that he's done the same for just about everybody. He's over-delivered in his matches.
I thought that his match against Ishii from earlier in the week, I thought that was great.
Fantastic. Yeah. And again, there's no rhyme or reason that Yuji Nagata has to put on this type of performance at this point in his career, right? And you kind of question if physically he's able to do it. He's able to do it, obviously. He's able to do it, and the fact that he is doing it, knowing full well that he called it that this was his last one, right?
He's
officially said it. So if in fact this is pro wrestling, so anything can happen. But if in fact this is his last one, he's going out on a very fucking high note when it comes to match quality.
Absolutely, like maybe not booking wise, but as far as match quality, boy, he couldn't go out a better way. Really,
yeah, we're gonna work again.
Go ahead.
And again, this still doesn't mean that he can't play the fucking spoiler against like a Fale, right? He can't fuck somebody over when it comes to points. That still can come into play. I don't know. Just maybe on paper, it might look like getting that one win and fucking somebody over might be a little bit more sweet and special moment as opposed to just fucking them over.
And I'll tell you what, I think that there is still the possibility that Yuji Nagata is going to play that spoiler with Fale, because looking at the points right now, Fale's got 10 points.
Yeah.
Naito's got 12. Now,
yeah.
Fale beat Naito.
Yeah.
So if he catches up with Naito as far as points, Fale is going to advance to the finals.
That can't possibly happen, can it, Colin?
No. Yeah. No, that can't possibly happen, Damon.
Okay, last week when we said, hey, Evil beating Okada, we didn't even give a fucking thought. We were like, nope, That ain't fucking happening. We sat here and we were like, well, it looks like Okada's going undefeated, going into, we didn't even consider it. It wasn't even a thought because we were like, nah. And because here's the thing. Evil got the win over Suzuki. Evil got a win over Suzuki and Okada.
He did.
The fuck? Right?
Now Fale's next match is on Friday, August 11th. And he's facing Yuji Nagata. Yeah, Yuji Nagata has to play spoiler there for Fale. Because, again, Fale beat Naito. And if we're going with Naito advancing to Sunday in the main event, then, yeah, Nagata's got to play spoiler.
Look, we're talking like we know what the – like we have the booking sheets, right? And we have – we know who's – we don't know. Colin, I'm going to point fucking blank ask you. Would they put Fale in the semifinals and finals?
I wouldn't put anything past them. I wouldn't put anything past them at this point.
Give me a scale. Scale 1 to 10.
A 7.5.
Wow, that high.
A 7.5.
Of putting Fale in the mix.
Seems like Fale has gained a lot of steam over the course of this past year. Like last year, if you would have asked me the same question, I would have said hell no. But I don't know. Fale has I feel like he is viewed differently now.
Colin, would you be disappointed with that?
Oh yeah, but look.
Colin, you would be disappointed with that, right?
I would be very disappointed with that. I don't think they're going that route though, because the G1 final, it has to have match of the year potential, and they know that Fale isn't going to deliver match of the year potential. He can have a great monster
Colin,
match,
they'll put him on top of a fucking, Dontaku show or a,
right. That's, you know. That's Dontaku though.
Okay. I'm just saying look.
No, I still think we're looking at maybe, come Destruction, King of Pro Wrestling, Naito defends his briefcase against Fale.
Right.
Okay. But you never know.
Fuck you. That's the one. Listen, that is a crutch. No doubt. Right. People can be like, oh, listen, you never know in the world of professional wrestling. Anything can happen. Anything can fucking happen. Who knows? How many times have you walked out of, turned off the TV after a show and you're like, the fuck? I can't believe that guy got a win. Right. We just came off of the back to back matches. You're like, what the fuck? Upsets. And Here's another name I'm going to throw out there. And again, I don't want this to turn into the sour grapes thing didn't turn out the way we thought, but what the fuck happened to Michael Elgin? Holy moly. That Yano match?
Let me tell you something. Okay. You know what? Let's go through the rest of this card and then let's go back to that match, because okay. I think it was the worst match in G1 history.
Wow, really?
Maybe New Japan history.
What? Really?
That was there was look, no more Toru Yano in this tournament. If you want this to be a serious sports like tournament, you got to get Yano the fuck out of there. I don't have any patience for these shenanigans anymore. I'm done. I'm done with Yano in the G1. In the G1, I'm done, all right?
Oh, all the poor comedy fans, they're all.
Well, they can watch DDT. They can watch WWE. It's chock full of comedy there. Right. They can watch Fandango and, whoever. All right? Moving on.
No, this is great. Colin on a big rant here. You weren't a fan. Let me just stay here for a second. I'm going to ask you two questions.
Okay.
Worst match you've ever seen?
I can't give it any stars at all. I feel really bad for Michael Elgin because we've been talking about what a year he's been having. And then they go and they give him this.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
was
I don't
horse
think he was
shit.
Too happy with that. I don't think he was too happy with that.
No.
Right. Oh.
This was tantamount to a slap in the face for a 5-star performer.
Mathematically eliminated, right? Mathematically eliminated.
I believe so.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, we'll come back to it. I trust me, my phone just exploded with with comments. So good stuff. All right.
Yeah. Zero minus five stars for Michael Elgin and Yano. All right.
Wow.
Minus six stars.
Six and a half. Are we gonna go to full Monty?
Minus six and a quarter stars. All right.
Ooh. All right. Get us back on track.
Ibushi versus Yoshihashi, on the other hand, was a good match.
I think you said it. Good match. I didn't think it was great.
No, it wasn't great. It was good though.
It was good. Here's the thing with this show too. Minus Tanahashi Ishii, I thought everything was solid and good, but nothing I'll go back and rewatch.
Even Tanahashi versus Ishii, this might be a controversial opinion.
Uh-oh.
I thought
he hates family of Khan. He hates comedy. He wants Yano banned from G1 and now strike three.
No, not strike three. I thought it was a great match, but not as memorable as their one from last year. And I think the one from last year was more memorable simply because Ishii turned Tanahashi's chest into hamburger meat.
Right.
In that one, I think, if I'm remembering it correctly. But no, well, I thought it was a great match, but I thought their one from last year was just a bit better.
Yeah.
That's all.
All right. We'll get to that match.
We'll get to that.
Coming up. Okay. This match with Yoshihashi and Ibushi. So this match gave Ibushi how many points now?
Ibushi is now at 10 points.
Huh. Definitely in the mix.
Yeah, Ibushi's still hanging in there. And what do you think of his new finisher, that new knee strike he's got
going on?
Yeah,
grab the hands, pull him in. Yeah. When he beat Tanahashi with that, and again, we haven't talked about that match. When he beat Tanahashi with that, that was, to me, not a weird finish, but kind of like you didn't expect that to be the three count.
No,
right?
I did not.
Yeah. So, but I love that match. I thought that match was really great. Yoshihashi, again, I've said it 1,000 times. He's just not one of those guys that does much for me, but every time I get done with the match, it's a decent match. He did the same finish to this one. That's how this one ended, right?
Oh yeah. And the finish, I apologize if I'm pronouncing this incorrectly, is the Kami Go.
Right.
But yeah, again, with Yoshihashi, you see his name on paper and you're just kind of like, eh. And then by the end of it, you're like, oh, that was a good match.
Yeah,
that's the theme for Yoshihashi.
So with 10 points, what do you have any idea of what Ibushi has next?
Let me pull up my handy dandy schedule here, Damon. And
yes, please.
Ibushi's next match should be on Friday, mm-hmm. August 11th.
All right, so the next show is the 11th?
No, the next show is on Tuesday the 8th.
Oh, that's right. We got a busy week coming up, don't we?
We do have a busy week coming up.
Fuck.
So Ibushi's going to be facing... okay. Here we go. This makes sense.
Okay. What do you got?
Ibushi is up against Chief J. And I think Goto, he's going to be the spoiler for Ibushi.
This is where he falls apart?
Yeah. Yep.
What's Goto got?
Ibushi.
I'm sorry. Point-wise. He's not really in the mix, is he?
I believe that Goto is mathematically... Yes, he's mathematically eliminated from the tournament at 8 points.
Ah,
four wins, four losses.
So that Fale match hurt him.
Yes, it did. Mm.
Okay, that scares me with Fale. I'm not gonna lie.
Look.
So literally, the guy who was in the finals again—he slipped on the banana peel, right, to get into the finals last year. He's gone.
He's gone. Fale not gone, but Nagata could put a damper on that. So keep your fingers crossed, folks.
Yeah. Root for fucking Yuji Nagata, kids.
You better get behind Nagata.
Blue fucking justice.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Exactly. Oh, boy.
So
it's going to be quite the final, Damon.
it is going to be exciting. These matches, there is going to be rooting interest.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think people, and especially people who listen to this nonsense, like are maybe on the same page in what they're looking forward to when it comes to the semifinals and finals, right? I don't think anybody wants to see Fale in there. And listen, you can like Fale, and to each their own. But truth be told, do you really want to see Fale in a finals, or do you want to see the kind of what everybody's looking forward to? You know, when it comes to Naito in the mix, when it comes to Omega in the mix, when it comes to Okada in the mix, you want to see those guys in that mix. You don't want to see a fucking Fale in there.
Yeah, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a lot of folks that, especially listening to this podcast, who are really clamoring for a Bad Luck Fale G1 final. Although,
right.
I will say this: as far as Goto goes, man, Goto's going to get a lot of heat when he defeats Ibushi, because I think a lot of people are kind of looking forward to a possible Ibushi Omega final, even though we kind of have that in our mind penciled in as a big dome match. I think a lot of people really do want to see that as a G1 final, and boy, when Goto hits that GTR on poor Ibushi,
a lot of pools are going to get ruined. Do you think?
I think so. Maybe I'm way off, but
well, I mean, do you think that's a possibility?
What, of Ibushi going to the final?
Yeah.
No, I don't think, and I hate to use this word, I don't think they're going to waste it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to waste Ibushi versus Omega. And it wouldn't even be wasting. It's just, I think if
on a G1 final, that's not a waste.
No, it's not a waste, but think about how much more it would mean in the Dome in January.
Okay. We could, I mean, again, we're all over the fucking map, but Imagine Ibushi with a briefcase.
Ibushi with a briefcase. That sounds like a song or something.
That's the name of my new CD that drops next week.
Yeah, Ibushi with a briefcase. Yeah, I mean that would be cool to see.
No chance, though, right?
I don't think so. Like I said last week, Ibushi's the new Shibata in this tournament now.
Right. Okay. All right. Listen, I'm just throwing it out there. All right. So we got Goto, you're predicting Goto with a big win over Ibushi.
Yeah, Goto with a big win over Ibushi, I think, to spoil Ibushi's chances in the tournament. As far as Goto's match with Fale, I really can't say a whole lot about it. I mean, they teased a Bad Luck Fall. Goto escaped from it, but he succumbed to the grenade, and Fale picks up the win in about 9 minutes, 30 seconds.
See, I kind of like that in the sense that it you know, listen, the fall is the finishing maneuver. You get caught in that, you're fucked, right? And, you know, and you hear the gasps of people in the crowd when somebody is up there. Doesn't matter who it is. We saw Naito take one, and he ain't kicking out. Love it. But I like the fact that what they did was they got over a secondary move, right? Finally, a secondary move gets the win. It would be the equivalent of, like, you know, Maybe it's a bad one, but maybe like a red ink getting a win as opposed to a rainmaker,
or even
right?
A Texas Cloverleaf by Tanahashi getting a win over the High Fly Flow.
Right, right. So I like that idea. I like the idea of a secondary move, a setup move, being the thing that puts it over the top. That was kind of cool to me. I did enjoy that much. I thought the match was okay. I thought it was fine. I think Fale hasn't really disappointed me here, right? Usually I'm quick to judge Fale. Usually I'm quick to say, I don't think these are bad matches that he's putting out.
Honestly, if you look at Fale's G1 history, this might be his best tournament as far as match quality.
Hmm. Might be. I mean, listen, I'm not gonna waste a weekend watching Fale matches to tell you if it's the truth.
That's your
or
project,
not,
Damon. We need you to do that for the podcast.
that will be not happening. But I will say that you know my fucking attention span's that of a gnat, but a fruit fly. But yeah, I mean, this G1, I can't say that I've been disappointed with Fale. I think he's very strong.
Speaking of not wanting to go back and watch old Fale matches, I just had an idea. We should have something. We should have a contest, and it should be called the Doc Gallows Challenge, all right? And
I'm intrigued.
The participant has to go back and watch every Doc Gallows G1 match, and they have to give like a somewhat detailed report of the match, like at least a paragraph long. you know, of like something of substance that they took away from the match. Okay. And if they do that for every Doc Gallows match, they get a prize. But they have to actually do it. Like, they can't go and like read old G1 reviews and copy and paste.
Right.
They like have to it has to be like an original paragraph long report of every Doc Gallows G1 match.
Why would you torture somebody with that?
Look, if they want the prize bad enough.
What's the prize?
Probably just like an autograph. Of,
that I own?
Yeah, yeah. A Damon-owned Honma autograph or something like that.
Wow. All right. Well,
that's a lot of work for a Honma autograph.
And where is this going? Where is this Gallows Chronicle of G1? Where would we put this?
What, like the actual report?
Yes, people will want to read it, right?
We'll post it on NewJapanPuroCast.com.
Okay. You're going to post it on NewJapanPuroCast.com, right?
Yeah, look, no, though, the participants or participant, whoever's brave enough to take on this challenge should, you know.
I bet you there's people that would do it.
Oh, I think that there's definitely people who would do it. Go back, watch every single Doc Gallows G1 match in history, at least, you know, a short little paragraph of substance for each match, reviewing the match.
Right.
You know, send it to us in like a Word document, newjapanpurocast@gmail.com, and we'll post that on the website, and you'll get a fabulous prize.
All right. Fine.
The Doc Gallows, the Purocast Doc Gallows Challenge.
Why are you kicking Doc Gallows? Jeez.
I'm not. I'm just. I just think it would be an interesting sociological experiment. That's all.
I'll ask you a silly question.
Okay.
I already know the answer to, but I'll just throw it out there anyway. Fale or Doc Gallows?
Fale.
Absolutely. Hands down.
No, Fale. No.
Fale.
His matches are much more exciting.
I agree.
Than Doc Gallows matches ever were.
And no face paint.
That's right. No face paint. Plenty of sunglasses.
No, but no cock swings.
No cock swings.
Man, that's the first time we've said cockswings in such a long time.
Months and months.
Wow.
I kind of miss that.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of do, too. Just saying. A little cockswing. All right, Colin. Get us back on track. Will you please?
All right. Two more matches to talk about here in this A-Block show from this morning. Togi Makabe versus Tetsuya Naito. I didn't think that this Makabe match was as good as the Tanahashi one from the other night.
Well, I will say this, that...
I think both guys kind of took it easy here.
Well, I was about to say, like, I don't know if necessarily easy is the word I would use, but here's what I kind of you see in a match like this. You're kind of a little bit past the midway point. You see in the distance a light at the end of the tunnel, right? You're kind of somewhere in the middle. You're over the hump, but you're still in the middle. It's a long stretch. It's a long ride. Takes its toll. Everybody's banged up. Everybody's hurting, right? There's a light at the end of the tunnel here with the finals. And this was one of those matches where, to me, it felt like, and again, I think guys tried. Don't get me wrong. I don't think this was a lazy effort or uninspired effort.
It was fine.
I'm not saying, yeah, absolutely fine. But I will say that you could tell that this was a match where, I don't want to say necessarily that they just tried to get through it, but they just tried to get through it, right? They put in effort. Don't get me wrong. It was a good match, but it to me watching it was kind of like, okay, we need to get through 10 minutes. We need to make it good. But there's only so much we have in the tank, and Naito's got to go on the greener pastures, and Makabe's got to get back to the six man's, right? That's what it kind of felt like to me.
And that kind of leads me to my next point as we move to the main event, Tanahashi versus Ishii. To me, this match lacked the explosiveness of a lot of other Ishii matches, at least from my perspective.
Now, why do you think?
Because of what we've just been talking about. I mean, you can tell that when Tanahashi comes out, then when Ishii comes out, these guys are, you know, this has been a long tournament for them, yeah. You know, and they're beat up and they're exhausted by this point. And right. I can't say that I certainly don't fault them. I mean, this was a great match, but again, it didn't have that explosiveness as past Tanahashi Ishii matches.
is still great.
Yeah,
I thought this was on the great level. Great match. You're right. I don't think that there was a little something missing, a little spark, whatever that might be. And that might be the reason. Sure, I think that's a very valid point of where we are. You go back a couple years, and there's always going to be shows like this where it's like, okay, you know, in G1 where it's like, okay, I wouldn't even, you know, I don't want to say like night offs, but it was just, you know, just things didn't deliver. There's G1 has always had those nights. And I'm not even saying that this was one of those nights, because I don't think we've had really one of those nights. But in the scale of this current G1, which arguably is in the running for one of the best of all time. Yeah, I think overall you could feel and sense that, again, we're not talking about conserving energy. Maybe we are. But this was a little downshift to me, right? A little and again, I'm really trying to choose my words wisely. It wasn't a coast. It wasn't a go through the motions. It wasn't that. It was just a little bit, a little scaled back, a little toned down.
You know what it reminded me of, actually? Do you remember the first Omega Ishii match from the New Japan Cup back in March?
Okay, yeah.
Now, those guys had a trilogy of great matches. The one from Dontaku was great. The one from the Long Beach show is fantastic. It's one of my favorite matches of the year. But that first New Japan Cup match, like, I think we were both kind of like a little bit underwhelmed when it happened. We were like, huh, something was amiss here. And that's the same way I felt the same way about this Tanahashi Ishii match. Great match, but something was missing, and I think it's due to just the length of this tournament and the high level that both of these guys have been wrestling at consistently night after night.
Right. There's another level that those two people could bring a match to. Yes. Something left in the tank, whatever that case may be. I remember us talking about that New Japan Cup and me having those exact feelings. So, yes, I am in full agreement. Again, great match. We know that there's another level between these two. And again, it might be fatigue. It might be injuries. It might be a combination of all of it. And that they feel like there's something left in the tank that needs to have happen because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Absolutely. I'm in full agreement with that.
Okay, so with Tanahashi's victory here over Ishii, Tanahashi's at 12 points, all right?
Yeah.
Tetsuya Naito, 12 points. Now,
there's people that are talking about Tanahashi.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't shock me.
No, it would not.
Would not shock me.
You said that this felt like a... Because everybody's kind of looking at Naito to be the guy that walks away with this, right?
Yep, just like they did last year, if memory serves correctly.
And, well, the year previous, like, you gave the analogy of the Nakamura one.
Mm-hmm, yep, everybody thought that was Nakamura's year.
Yep, and Tanahashi comes in and says, no, it's not. Do you see this? Do you feel this still? Because you mentioned this a couple weeks back, that you felt like this was too easy. Right? And Colin, most of our show here today was, man, they don't take the fucking easy route to things, do they?
That's right.
Wasn't this the theme for okay? And now you, a couple weeks ago, you got that feeling in your gut, like, this seems a little too easy. It seems like a little too straightforward for New Japan. Naito walking away with this. Are you still feeling it? You still feeling that same way?
Well, I can tell you this. If Tanahashi beats Naito and advances to the finals, I'm certainly not going to sneeze at a Tanahashi versus Omega or Tanahashi versus Okada final. But right. With the few losses that Naito has been accumulating here, one against Fale and what was the other Naito loss? Ishii beat
Correct.
Naito. And if we're going with Naito winning this whole kit and caboodle, those make perfect briefcase defenses for the rest of the year.
They do. I don't know, man. Like I said, You would think they would do the most direct path. A lot of times it feels like they don't. So it does have me a little concerned. A little concerned. All right. All right. Where else are we going here?
Well, let's take a look at the rest of the week here that we watched. We did have a B-block show before that. Let me talk about Elgin versus Suzuki for a second, because this was a match that I was immensely looking forward to, but it didn't quite meet my expectations, especially considering all of the Suzuki goon shenanigans. I really think that hurt what could have been a great match.
Yeah. I know he was looking forward to that one too. Has Suzuki been a disappointment to you?
I'll tell you what, a little too much shenanigans for my taste.
We said from the jump that's what you were going to see a lot of that, right? Especially when it comes to, you know, and we said that when he was brought back during Dash and everybody got excited, Suzuki, and he had a great match against Okada.
What a missed opportunity this Elgin match was, though.
There's been a few of them. He's had a good the match against Kenny Omega was good, I thought.
The Suzuki match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we look back, so Suzuki, Elgin, I thought was, I would agree. I was a little disappointed with that. Suzuki versus Kojima was decent, right? That was pretty good. Suzuki versus Tama Tonga. That was with the brawling and all that shit. I didn't like that match. What is that? Suzuki versus what do we have after that? Suzuki Evil. That's where Evil beat him.
Yep.
Oh, that wasn't bad. I guess I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. But like, if you put a gun to my head and said thumbs up, thumbs down on the performance of Suzuki, you know, I'd have to go back and look at the matches and be like, you know, just like I did here and roll through and be like, okay, he wrestled. That was a good match. That was a good match. And that was nonsense. I'm going to give him a solid. What do you give him, a B?
I'm going to give him a B minus. Yeah,
B minus.
B minus. And you know what's funny that I just thought of? When Suzuki and Evil had their match and Evil got the win, we were saying to ourselves, okay, that makes sense. Evil's going to be chasing the NEVER title.
Right. That was my point. That's why that win was so out of my fucking... I was like, what? I mean,
little did we know that...
Yeah, he's going to go on the greener pastures two fucking weeks or a week later. He's got... I mean, technically, he would be in line to have a shot for the NEVER title and the heavyweight title. Why would they do that?
And not only Evil, but like Elgin is technically in line for two separate titles as well, because he beat Suzuki in this match.
Right.
And he beat Omega. So, I mean, he has his choice, you know, U.S. title, NEVER title.
Does that make any sense to you?
Not really.
Help me understand that. Right. Help me understand that.
And
why does that make no sense?
When I was initially doing my Voices of Wrestling bracket, which I ultimately scrapped because I got too frustrated with the math because I'm not Zack Sabre Jr. I didn't have him there to, you know,
coach you through.
Yeah.
Tutor you.
Make it fun.
Yeah, I've seen before that ended like that. Yeah, the sexy teacher.
Oh, I set myself up for that one. Right.
Help me with my trigonometry.
No, but seriously, though, that's how I was booking this thing. I was saying to myself, okay, so it makes sense that Elgin is going to he's going to beat Omega. Juice is going to beat Omega because both of them are going to have future U.S. title matches. But, you know, then you have – you also have Omega – or, excuse me, Elgin beat Suzuki and Evil beat Suzuki and then Evil beat Okada. Like, you're right. This booking has no rhyme or reason, really.
It feels like it doesn't. Why would you have
– Now that I think about it.
Why would you have Evil beat Suzuki for the NEVER title, or you know, in a G1, the champion, have that, and then have him, the same fucking guy, beat? So here's again. Here's I know this sports analogy. Trust me, I fucking invented it. My problem is this: if it's the sports analogy, a team that's barely making the fucking playoffs, right? Because if we're going the pecking order, right, and we're going for the you know, we're trying to start by winning the lowest singles title in New Japan, arguably, because you could say it's the U.S. IWGP, but let's be honest here, I don't think that's the case anymore.
I think it's the NEVER at this point.
Right. So the guy who is, quote, end quote, in line for that title shot against Suzuki, right, beats him, right, beats him in G1 so he can earn the shot. That same fucking guy on the pecking order just beat biggest guy in the fucking company, coming off the biggest year in his fucking career, hasn't lost in a year, has had 5, 6, 12-star matches. That guy beat Okada? Makes no fucking sense.
It'd be like if you bought tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters and the Generals won, like soundly.
That's why it just makes no sense. No, but it wouldn't. It would be like the fucking, is it the Generals that play the fucking Globetrotters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Who always lose, right? Again, lost, or, you know, beat the fucking Globetrotters, right? I don't know. That analogy's going to stink. Don't worry about it. I was going to say, that went on to beat the fucking.
I was so intrigued where that was going, but.
But I couldn't name a good basketball team. I was like, who's good now? The Bulls? No, they're not good. The Lakers?
I think they were good when Michael Jordan was on the team, like Scottie Pippen and fucking Dennis Rodman.
Right. Yeah, I could. Because I couldn't come. Like, it would be Golden State, right? Golden State would be the fucking team. Or the Cavs, right? LeBron. Yeah, listen, you get my fucking point. It makes no sense to me. The booking makes no sense to me. Who knows?
Yeah. Like on one hand, you know, like we've been saying from the beginning, you do have that whole sports analogy where anyone can beat anyone else on any given night. But again, long-term booking, a lot of these victories are a bit quizzical.
Yeah, head scratcher. Right?
So let's look at the points for the B block as they stand right now.
All right.
So.
It'll get me frustrated, but go ahead.
we've got Yano with 6 points.
Is that more or less than Zach?
Less than Zach. Zach's at 8.
What does Yano have come up? Do you know?
Yano, let's take a look here. Hang on a second, because my notes are a bit scattered.
Oh, come on, Meltzer. Let's get it together.
I should be shuffling papers right now. So, Yano... Yano's next match is on Tuesday, August 8th, and he's taking on Juice. He could look.
Yano's winning that match.
He could get a win over Juice, sure.
Yano's fucking winning that match. All right, so that's good.
If Yano wins, though, think about this: Juice just beat one of the top two greatest wrestlers in the world.
So he's due for a shitty loss.
Yeah, he is kind of due for a shitty loss. So yeah, I think Yano's gonna win, and that'll put Yano at 8 points. So. Actually, Yano and Zach could, wind down this tournament with the same amount of points. There you go.
Ah, that's a push. All right. I see nothing but a big handful of dreads and a ball shot, and that's that. That's what I see. That's what I see in Juice's future.
Tama Tonga, 4 points. All right.
Yeah, he's mathematically eliminated long ago.
Yep. Kojima actually picked up his first win of the tournament, and... He's at 2 points,
yeah.
So he eliminated Sonata. Sonata's at 8 points.
What happened to that, Colin? What happened to that big Sonata push?
Yes, I thought for sure
that
this was the summer of Sonata, but apparently it's the summer of evil.
Everything is evil.
Everything is evil.
Yeah, listen. Story of my life.
Michael Elgin at 6 points.
That's madness to me. I'm sorry.
That's amazing.
That's fucking... That's criminal. Like, seriously.
Elgin has one of the matches of the tournament against Kenny Omega, right?
For what?
And then he... And then he has the worst match of the tournament against Yano.
Yeah, he's like me. There's no middle ground.
A match that I can't even give a star to. I don't even count that as like a match.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
That was a
poor Mike. Good Lord.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that he didn't sleep that well that night.
And you know what else fucking frustrates me about that match? You know,
What's really
my blood about that match?
Damon, let's go, buddy.
Damon, we've been watching a lot of Minoru Suzuki matches throughout this tournament, right?
Yes.
How many times have you seen Suzuki just fucking take a chair and just start waffling his opponent and the referee staring a hole through them? And did he call for a DQ at any time?
Of course not.
No, but the ref in this Elgin Yano match, he called for a DQ for a nut shot that he didn't even see. An invisible nut shot that didn't happen. What the fuck? What the fuck? That this This doesn't make sense. I, out of all the questionable booking throughout this tournament, that has been the most glaring thing that you just look at and say, how does this, this doesn't make sense at all in any respect. An invisible nut shot gets a DQ, but, you know, yeah, you can light your opponent on fire, you know, and Red Shoes is just like wagging his finger. Good Lord. Seriously. How many times has Evil done that chair shot gimmick where he puts the chair around his opponent's neck and, you know, hits it out of the park? Like, a thousand times, right?
Yeah.
Referee stares right at it. Ah, come on in. It's no big deal. I'm not going to call for the bell. But an invisible nut shot, that is how Elgin loses. I mean, I would have had more respect for the match if, you know, Yano just schoolboyed him.
Right.
But a DQ because of a nut shot that never happened.
Huh. Madness, right? Colin, I'm not gonna lie. That was an epic rant you had there. That was Mad Dog Chris Russo esque.
I don't like to go on rants often on this podcast. That's more your wheelhouse. But come on, that one just it didn't make any sense.
Infuriating, right?
I mean, sure, it plays into the whole, the sublime master thief, Yano, he's so clever. No, it's stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Get him out of this tournament. I don't want to see him in this tournament anymore. He detracts from it. You could put plenty of other guys in the tournament where guys can sort of take it easy with, you know, and I understand that that's the purpose of Yano's presence in the tournament, to give guys a night off, but come on, just put Nakanishi in there if you want to give guys a night off. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Oh, fucking great. I love this. I love this fired up Colin. Fucking Reddit is going to go crazy Monday morning.
I think that we should look at the rest of the following week, the matches that we have coming up.
Yes.
Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
Let's start off with Tuesday.
Yes. Yes.
B Block Show, Kojima versus Tama Tonga. You excited for that one, Damon?
What are we trying to get out of this one, right? What are we sinking our teeth into in this match?
Nothing.
No. What is there to be excited for? Help me out. Nothing. Both guys are mathematically eliminated. Both guys are fighting for pride, Colin.
Not in pride.
Truth be told, I mean, I don't give a fuck. Right? Why would anybody give a fuck? Who cares? Right?
Robinson versus Toru Yano. You can say the same thing for.
This smells like Juice taking a fall. Right? This has Juice taking a fall written all over it.
No more Yano.
No more Yano? Right.
No more.
He's a nice guy. He's got a nice bar.
I'm sure he's great, but he doesn't belong in this tournament.
Took care of me, right?
Yeah, well, that matters at the end of the day, right?
Let me hold the titles. Huh? You're having a great time.
Right. Michael Elgin versus Evil should be a great match, but
yeah,
there's not a whole lot riding on it.
Well, let me ask you this. Is this an example of Michael Elgin getting a win over Evil?
If Michael Elgin gets a win over Evil,
what the fuck, right? What's the point?
Shouldn't Evil's future title shot go to Michael Elgin?
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you beat the guy who beat the guy, don't you get that shot?
What if you beat the guy who beat the guy who beat the guy?
Mm.
That's where we get into a bit of a gray area.
That's true.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Elgin versus Evil should be great. Elgin, again, Evil should win here because he just beat Okada, but...
The top guy in the company.
Right. The greatest pro wrestler in the world, for all intents and purposes.
The motherfucker has two title shots. Well, so does Michael Elgin, come to think of it. Ah, who fucking cares?
By the way,
speaking
of Okada, I think he's got to be taking like an upper before he comes out because, good Lord, he shot out of a cannon. This is a different level of Okada that we've been.
You think he's on drugs? You think he's doing drugs, Colin?
I think he's drinking coffee.
You think he's doing lines in the back?
No. Okay. I think it looks like he has a pot of coffee before he comes out. Boy, he is just fired up. I do enjoy it. I will say that.
Me too. I do too. I like I like that he gives a fuck. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, there's a time and a place for the cocky dickhead Okada, which I love. But yeah, I like fired up Okada.
Yeah, I love enthusiastic, shot out of a cannon, jumping around, playing to the crowd Okada a lot.
I thought you were going to say Damon. Or that.
No, oh. I don't want to see that.
You love that. who's winning Omega? Who's winning Elgin Evil, Colin? Let's establish that.
Because it makes no sense, I'm going to go with Elgin.
Me too. Because shoulder shrug, who fucking knows at this point?
Right. Exactly. Omega versus Sonata. Originally, I kind of had Sonata penciled in to defeat Omega and get a future IWGP US title shot, but I don't think that's happening.
No, I don't think either of those guys can afford a loss. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to give Omega another loss. I said this last week, but you're not going to give Omega another loss.
Watch him tap out to the skull end.
Oh my God, would that be crazy? I mean, seriously, what in the fuck would I look? I've already resigned to the fact that I have no fucking idea what they're thinking. I'll never get in their heads. I'll never be able to figure it out. As much as I think I do, I don't. I never will. I never will. Especially this year. I have no fucking idea. But I'm going to Omega.
And then the main event, Okada versus Suzuki.
Well, again, this is where we kind of thought and had penciled in for Suzuki to turn Okada into a little bit of mincemeat, right? To avenge his loss,
and that'll even him up with Omega as far as losses,
right? And that needs to happen, right?
I think so.
On paper, we need to make that happen. So, I'll stick with our original thought process and make it happen. Well, that's that's where I thought we were going. So let's continue that path.
All right, so that is the Tuesday, August 8th show, and then we move on to the meat and potatoes here, Damon.
Okay.
Friday, August 11th, Sumo Hall. Here we go. Match lineup. What do we got here? This is an A-block show. Okay. So we're going to be seeing Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. A match that we saw at Long Beach, actually. That was
good.
Very good. Boy, if they give this just a little more time than Long Beach, this has the potential to be great.
I think this will be great. Yeah, Long Beach was in the top three matches that I saw there. Elgin, Omega being one of them. Of course, the final with Omega and Ishii. Yeah, I think this would be very good. Very good, yes.
Kota Ibushi versus Hirooki Goto. You know, I initially had talked about Goto spoiling Ibushi, and the same goes for Fale. But truth be told, looking at the math, I think that Naito versus it's going to be either Naito or Tanahashi because they're both at 12 points. Ibushi is at 10 points. So even if Ibushi were to, say, beat Goto, right, and come out with 12 points, well, the winner of Naito versus
is going to go on
Tanahashi. Yeah, they're going to go on anyway because they're going to have 14 points. So, and same goes with the Fale match. So I think that's how the math actually is. It's either going to be Tanahashi or Naito. So
we're
basically just looking at these matches for match quality, really. And Ibushi versus Goto should be very good. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to say Goto wins.
Me too. I will say the same thing. And I really hope people listen to the full podcast before responding because, again, we did figure out the math.
Yes. Right. I hope I don't get angry tweets.
We will. We'll get it. Well, you know we will.
In because the midst of...
Right. People hear what they hear, and then they respond in the moment, right? But then later on, we wind up correcting ourselves, I would say, 8 times out of 10. All right. So that's not a bad show. What's the main event of that show, though?
Main event's Tanahashi Naito.
Okay.
We've also got Nagata and Fale in there, which I'm going with Fale winning just because it makes no sense.
I'm going Nagata.
You're going Nagata? Okay. You're still going Nagata.
Yep. It's because it's got to, right?
Wouldn't it be something? I mean, it would be something that they would do, though, to have, like, Nagata get his big win on, like, the second to last night. You know what I mean?
Right. Some mean.
Yeah. So I'm going Fale.
Yeah, but if Fale wins, the fucking points get all jacked up.
No, because Fale, he has 10 points right now. If he won, he'd have 12 points. And again, Tanahashi and Naito, they're one of them is advancing either way. So it truly does not matter. And then
I'm
Makabe,
still going Nagata. I'm going Nagata.
I'm going Fale. And then Makabe versus Yoshihashi. Yeah.
Right.
Need we say more?
Right. That should be a great match.
Saturday, August 12th, the final B block show. This is going to be a doozy here. Tama Tonga versus Sonata.
That could be good.
Yeah, I think that could be very good.
That could be good. I mean, listen, truth be told, Tama Tonga has done not much for me. I know there are people that are quick to jump on the Tama Tonga bandwagon for this G1 and trying to make it look like this is like a career-defining G1. It really isn't.
Personality-wise, it is. You know what I mean? Like, charisma-wise, it is, but not necessarily match quality-wise. I think probably the best match he has had is, would you say, against Okada?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't Suzuki.
No.
So it's Sonata. That's a great test, and I put that in quotes. He hasn't made it happen yet. Big stage. Let's see what happens.
We've also got Yano versus Suzuki in there.
Yano versus Suzuki.
You've got to go with Yano, because if you want to stick with your original plan of having Yano beat Zach,
yeah.
I mean, you've got to go
with
Yano.
I need the money, right?
Yeah, you need the money.
I'll be rooting for Yano, but I don't think he'll win.
Okay.
I'm rooting for Yano on this one.
I hope Suzuki wins. I hope we see a gosh pile driver to end all gosh pile drivers.
I need a dollar.
And then that'll be Yano's last appearance in the G1.
All right.
This is Yano's final G1.
So he's getting the win.
Suzuki's getting the win.
Nah. Oh, yeah. That's what I want. No, I want Yano. Wait, no, I want Yano.
You want Yano.
His last G1, he's fucking riding out in the blaze of glory, as John Bon Jovi would say.
That's right. Young Guns 2 soundtrack.
Young Guns, that is correct. I heard that the other day. I was like, oh, this fucking
great
nonsense
song.
Terrible. All right, next.
Kojima versus Evil. That should be a good, hard-hitting match.
Okay.
I can tell you're excited for it.
Fucking no. Okay, good.
Elgin versus Juice.
I think that's going
to
be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one a lot, actually.
You think Elgin loses?
I mean, no, I think he wins.
You think he's winning that one?
I think he kind of has to.
Really?
They have to do something to make up for that Yano match, right?
He's got two title shots.
He does have two title shots. But that fucking Yano match. You
hated that match. Let me ask you this. This is the true test, Colin. Now, tell me the truth. You fucking hated that match. Would you give it a I fucking hated it?
Yeah. Full-fledged.
We're going to veer a little bit off course.
Okay.
Just let you know. Was this match worse? And the bar...
Yes.
The bar that is set for worst match of the year has to be that fucking House of Horrors WWE Randy Orton Bray Wyatt match, right?
Oh, we're going in all of pro wrestling?
In this year at least.
Okay.
This year at least. Is it worse than that?
Yeah, because you know what? I was at least entertained by the god-awfulness of the House of Horrors.
Wow.
Like, that, at least I can kind of, you know, lay there on my couch and laugh and say, oh my god, this is shit.
Right?
But, I mean, we're talking about the G1 climax here, a serious sporting pro wrestling tournament, and you have a finish like that. I mean, I knew what I was getting into with the House of Horrors. I bought my tickets.
I say let them crash.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to say Elgin versus Yano was worse than the House of Horrors. You heard it here for the folks.
Woo-hoo. Man. Let me ask this. Were you angry after that match? Were you physically angry?
I don't think that the anger came until afterwards when I really started thinking about it. Like, oh, my God.
How much of a fucking waste of time that was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of when I got angry. I mean, I had an inkling that Yano was somehow going to pull one over on Elgin, but not with an invisible nut shot. That's a new one.
Oh.
That's one for the... I mean, that's happened before, in the history of wrestling, but not in the G1 climax.
I mean, I'm not up on my nutshot history of the G1 climax.
Oh, I have the book here.
You have the Chris Charlton one out?
Yes, he did. It was a more obscure limited release.
Paperback. He had it on paperback.
Yes.
Okay. Well, look, I'll look on Amazon and see if I can find that. Borrow your copy.
Main event of the B block, of course. Okada versus Kenny Omega, the third match this year.
The trilogy.
Yes.
The trilogy.
Yes.
Are we done with this now? Are we seeing four? That'd be four singles matches in 1 year if they do another. That's craziness in New Japan world.
If I didn't know that Kenny Omega was going to be around in 2018, if I didn't know that and his contract was still up in the air, I would say we would see four. But now that, you know, we're at least guaranteed another year of Kenny Omega, I'm going to say that they hold off until next year. Because they have the ability to do that now.
Right.
Contracts are secured.
Well, look, I think everyone's excited for the match, right? Number one. I don't think there's anybody who's not.
Everybody has their pants down.
Everyone is unbuckled and pants are down. Male, female, you name it. We're all pro wrestling fan pants are down. Who's walking away with a win here, Colin?
Kenny Omega.
That would be the first time, right? That's who finally gets his win. Finally gets that win. Is that the time to do it?
Maybe not. Let me ask you this. What are the odds we see another draw here?
That would be the second 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
2 years in a row we get a draw?
That's kind of why I don't think they're going to go that route, but I think that people did have that sort of penciled in as a possibility in their G1 brackets. Because this is hard to pick a winner. That's why.
It is.
I'm saying Omega hits the one wing angel, center of the ring, 1-2-3. He finally defeats his arch nemesis, Okada.
And then it's Omega Naito final.
Yes.
Who wins?
The final?
Yeah.
Naito.
All right. So it took a long way to get there. We went around the corner. We could have gone through the tunnel, but eventually we got where we thought we were going to be.
Yeah, because you know what? I think that a lot of people wanted that Naito Omega final for the U.S. title tournament at Long Beach. I think a lot of people thought that that's where they were going, but perhaps they didn't do that because that was going to be the G1 final.
All right. Well, look, all I know is this. This is what I can guarantee, because, again, who knows when it comes to wins and losses and where this company goes in the booking direction. Only they do. And again, I find it amazing that the guys don't know who's winning until they show up. I really fucking dig that. I will guarantee this. These Sumo Hall shows will be spectacular. They will be fun. They will be outstanding. And these main events will fucking deliver hands down. I don't know how Kenny and Okada are going to top what they've been able to deliver so far. I will say that it might be a little bit disappointing in the sense that they only have 30 minutes. They only have 30 minutes to do what they need to do.
That's right.
So
that'll be the shortest match that they've ever had.
Yeah. That's kind of it's going to be interesting to see how they can squeeze, you know, 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag.
I don't think that there's room for a rest hold here.
No, really. The bell rings and they're off. They're off to the fucking races. So that's something to consider. That's something to consider when they're doing this match. I hope it delivers.
I'm going to be screaming at my TV like a maniac.
Yeah, I think everybody will.
The neighbor's going to think I'm getting murdered down here.
But they only have 30 minutes to weave their magic. So the canvas is not as big as the Dome or Dominion. So that is something to consider, kids. Do I think they're going to go a draw? No. I would be shocked if they did that 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row.
Maybe Omega crazy. Will win via invisible nutshot.
He's still on it. Oh, Colin.
So seriously, right. though, what are you thinking for the final on Sunday then? Are you going Naito Omega?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I think I don't think Tanahashi gets in. I'm just going with logic. I'm just going with what makes the most sense to me.
And plus, Tanahashi's got two future IC title defenses. I don't think he's going to win the tournament as IC champion.
Neither do I. And again, I just think, why would you do that? The guy's apparently banged up real bad.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? That makes no sense. And I don't think the majority of the people really want that. You go with what we're supposed to go with. It's Naito. It's Naito Omega. And unfortunately, for Kenny, I think this is Naito's year.
And before we wrap things up there with the G1 final, I just want to mention there are two other title matches for next Sunday. Two tag title matches for the heavyweight tag titles. We've got War Machine.
Who?
Yeah, I know, right?
I haven't seen them in 6 months.
Yeah, Raymond Rowan Hansen, War Machine, defending against Cody and Hangman Page.
Ugh. Well, you know the rumors, right?
What are the rumors, Damon?
The War Machine rumors. Well, they've been.
Have they been drafted?
They've been scouting some property out there in some beachfront property.
Mm.
A two bedroom they need because they're a tag team.
Right. Next to the Performance Center.
There hasn't been decisions made. Again, this is all via Big Dave, but and the Wrestling Observer newsletter. But yeah, I mean, all these, you know, your Adam Coles, your Kyle O'Reilly's, all those guys are you know, inks dried, and War Machine was, you know, haven't made a decision. I'm going to go with a title change here. I think War Machine will not be with New Japan much longer.
Which is sad because, boy, were they a breath of fresh air in this fledgling heavyweight tag division.
I agree. Now, it's weird to me having a Cody Hangman Page tag team champions. But I think the handwriting is on the wall with War Machine. And again, nothing's official, nothing signed, nothing whatever, but I just...
And if they're going to drop the tag titles, I say let Page get the pinfall victory. He needs it more than Cody does.
I guess. I mean,
Cody's ROH World Champion. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, that would be weird, wouldn't it? To have, yeah. You know what? I'm bailing out. I'm bailing out.
You're bailing.
Yeah. I'm bailing on a swap. I'm bailing out on a change. That I mean, I'm bailing out.
So you're going War Machine retains.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. At least on this show, yes.
I hope War Machine retains, and I hope that they stick around because, again, they make the heavyweight tag division exciting. But
I agree. But
you know what happens in these situations traditionally.
Traditionally, again, who knows? Who knows what can happen? But I mean, that was reported by Big Dave. That again, nobody's going anywhere yet, but it's, you know, it's leaning that way. It seemed like. All right. So that's that. What else we got?
Then we've got for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles, the champions, the Young Bucks. Remember them? Matt and Nick, the Young Bucks, defending against the team of Taguchi and Ricochet.
That was set up from Long Beach, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Remember when Ricochet came in and bad
shit all over Lucha?
Yeah, that was awesome. Nope.
It was pretty cool. Title change?
Yes, title change.
Wow. Okay, because why not? Title change here. Yeah, because why not? Taguchi. I like the idea of a Taguchi Ricochet tag team. That's a fun tag team. I like that. Yeah, why not? What the fuck? We'll go title change here, too. Why not?
Alrighty, so there you have it. That is your G1 Climax 27 Sumo Hall preview, folks. And
oh my god, can't end soon enough. I just lost it. Jesus,
I know, Damon. Don't worry. We're almost going home here. We're about to wrap it up.
All right.
So, should be a jam-packed weekend of pro wrestling coming up again. These shows are always just spectacular, and I'm sure that this year will be no different. And of course, we just want to thank everyone for listening to the New Japan Purocast. As always, without you guys, there is no show.
Remember, well, there's a show, but nobody would listen.
Exactly. It would basically just be Damon and I talking amongst ourselves to ourselves, and what would the point of that be, right? So we just want to thank our great fans. As always, remember, NewJapanPurocast.com, your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, no shortage of ways to listen to the Purocast. And you can also listen on the Great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as well. We're usually up on voicesofwrestling.com each and every Monday afternoon. I'm running out of air, Damon.
That's all right. Take a deep breath.
Gaijincollectibles.com, your one-stop shop for all things in the world of Japanese pro wrestling merch, shipped straight to your door from Japan. Damon, any final words?
Well, again, I think everybody is looking forward to Final Nights. We are all excited. This is hang in there, kids. Hang in there. It's listen, we're complaining about watching great pro wrestling. You know, we're not digging a ditch. So keep it up. You're doing great. Keep up the good work. We got the finals right around the corner this week. It's going to be a busy one. The home stretch is here, though. And then we can kind of take a deep breath and see where we go leading into the autumn months here in the States. And then look, it's already August, kids. And that dome is getting cleaned up, shined up, and it's going to be January 4th before you know it.
All righty, folks. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you right here, same time next week, to review the finals of the G1 Climax 27.